At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Main Course.
And just like Humans likes a nice filet mignon after his show on Friday night down at Barry's. Let's jump into it. This game might have been more appealing if Appalachian State didn't walk into College Station and absolutely dominate Texas A&M, Matt. This wasn't a game where it was fluky. It was actually almost fluky that it was as close as it was. Yeah. This game was dominated by App State, time of possession, yardage. Now I look at this game, and I imagine the world is going to be on Miami here. As time of record, you're looking at Miami getting 6 or 6.5, where we sit at Circa, it's at 6.5. So A&M laying 6.5, a low total of 44.5. The total's been on a complete drop here. Opened at Circa on Sunday at 50.5. It's down to 44.5. So how do you break this game down? Because this is a stay away for me. It almost feels like they're trying to sucker you into playing Miami here.
Yeah, the A&M offense has been breaking down. That's how you break this game down. Even going back to last year, A&M was 88th in the nation in passing offense. And right now, A&M is 103rd in total offense. And, Tim, that's with the benefit of playing Sam Houston in the opener. Last week, 9 first downs, 186 total yards. Haynes King is not the answer at quarterback. I found out yesterday that Max Johnson got all of the first-team reps in practice for the Aggies. I would say you probably consider Max Johnson an average quarterback at best. Ironically, he did, as LSU starter, he did beat Texas A&M in Ed Orgeron's coaching finale last year. But he took all the snaps, I think, in practice yesterday, and I think that's an obvious move by Jimbo Fisher. I thought he was going to make that move this week because you got to put your better passing quarterback in there to prevent teams from stacking the box against you. And let's face it, App State allowed 63 points to North Carolina the previous week. And to get shut down by that defense is pretty embarrassing. I think Miami has a big quarterback edge here with Tyler Van Dyke. He's completed 74% so far. The problem, his roommate and the leading receiver on the Hurricanes team, Xavier Restrepo, is out. And that news just came out today. So I had not bet this game yet, Tim. I'm probably going to play the Canes here, but I'm going to play the Canes at a smaller than one unit bet. I've got to see the A&M anemic offense get on track before I believe it.
Yeah, for me, and I know Cameron Peoples of Appalachian State had that big 48-yard run, but you still look, I give Texas A&M a big advantage on the offensive line, but it's hard to lay that many points. You know, we talked about Iowa last week. Maybe that's a play I was thinking about, and their offense did exactly what you would expect, scored early and didn't do anything the rest of the game. So we'll see if Texas A&M, who I'll say this about Jimbo, this is a night game. I'm sure tons of recruits will be there. He finds ways. Think back to Alabama last year, finds ways to get the best out of his team and then lays, you know, a turd in the punch bowl against inferior competition, i.e. App State last weekend. So yeah. I would be on Texas A&M or nothing. So ultimately, I think I'm giving a pass on this one. Another game that certainly has quite a bit of buzz, and it's because of who is coaching on the sideline and who is not coaching on the sideline. And that, of course, would be Nebraska hosting number 6 Oklahoma. This has been a line on the decline all week long, despite the fact that Scott Frost on Sunday was relieved of his duties, despite Nebraska owing him $15 million in that payout and dropping in half in October. So it will be Mickey Joseph who takes over for Nebraska. This line opened at circa at 16, is down to 11. I took a bite at 14 earlier this week. You look at some of the game of the year lines. Chris Andrews over the South Point in June. Chris put this game as Oklahoma -3. And is still, even with the drop, still sitting at 11. I would imagine the public will load up on Oklahoma. But I know a lot of people on our network see value in the Huskers, and I think you're one of those people.
I am one of those people. I had circled this game a couple of months ago as one I thought Nebraska could pull the upset in. Oklahoma, to me, is one of the most overrated teams in the country, at least the high-profile teams when you're talking top 20. I think there's a lot to like about Nebraska. Now, Scott Frost, his last 13 losses were all by single digits. I think that's pretty well documented at this point. Last year, Nebraska was 3-9. The largest margin of defeat was 9 points. The Huskers were 22-point dogs in Norman last year against the Sooners, and Oklahoma needed a late defensive stop to secure a 23-16 win in that game. But the coaching change angle, Tim, is one that I love to play. I think a lot of people love to play. It's a new attitude. And what you're going to see here is, I think, an emotionally charged environment in Lincoln on Saturday. Everybody's jacked up that, you know, you've got a new era of Nebraska football that's about to start. I think the dark cloud that was looming, just really hanging over Scott Frost and his whole program, has been lifted. And that to me, is the key when you handicap this game. Now, Casey Thompson, the Texas transfer, has not played up to, I think, anyone's expectations so far through the first three games. But Nebraska's got plenty of offensive talent. The problem here is going to be the defense. Nebraska's defense allowed 642 yards to Georgia Southern last week. But on the flip side, I'm not going to let that scare me off Nebraska, because the Sooners have not been that impressive against UTEP and Kent State to open the season. At halftime last week, Oklahoma had 7 first downs and the Golden Flashes had 11. And that was a 7-3 game that Oklahoma led and ended up winning 33-3. The final looks better than the process. But Oklahoma needed a late score in the first half just to take the lead into the locker room at halftime. So this offense is really not clicking yet for Dylan Gabriel and Marvin Mims. Those guys have a lot of big play potential. This could be a really high-scoring game, Tim. It's a
total of 66.
I would prefer it be a night game in Lincoln than an early morning game. But that's what we've got this week to deal with. I was on the College Lines Revealed show with JVT on Sunday, and I'm on the Circa app as soon as those college lines are posted at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and I make my own lines the night before. I made Oklahoma 11 over Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
It opened 16 here at Circa. I grabbed 14.5 as it was, you're trying to be quick on the trigger. It says, the line has moved. The line has moved. But I get 14.5. I bet it again this week. I really think this situation sets up pretty well for the Huskers to be live to win this game. Take double digits and, take a little bit of the money line here, because I think the Huskers got a shot.
Yeah, when I was on over the summer on VSiN, I played over 9 wins on Oklahoma. I know you have an under 9.5. The mm-hmm. reason was I thought this was the toss-up game. And, you know, for my win total, I really need Oklahoma to win this game. But I took 14 on Sunday as well. So I was with you on Nebraska. I love the situational spot for Nebraska, us against the world. It's a home game. You know, I think there's going to be new juice in that stadium, an old rivalry renewed. As you mentioned last year, it was a close game, a competitive game. And Nebraska, yes, they've lost to Georgia Southern, have lost to Northwestern. Those were all close games, as you mentioned. You know, they lost, I think, by 9 to Ohio State last year. They should have beat Michigan I don't think they gave up a first down in the second half to Michigan State. So they can't close games, but they can keep games close. I'm with you. I would ride with the corn here. Took the 14, and I wouldn't disagree with where you stand right now in Nebraska at plus the 11. Going out to Eugene, Oregon, late last weekend, BYU did their best to try to lose to Baylor, missing two gimme field goals, but then ultimately won that game in double overtime in Provo. Condolences to anyone who took the 3.5 with Baylor, 26-20, the final score there. Impressive performance by Chase Roberts in the role with Puka Nacua and Gunnar Romney out. He had 8 catches, 122 yards, and a touchdown. And now you've got the Cougars of BYU, Matt, going on the road to Autzen. This won't be a night game, 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern kickoff. But Oregon played Eastern Washington a couple weeks ago to kind of get their bearings straight. They're a 3.5-point favorite, are the Ducks, with a total of 58. Does BYU keep it rolling here as coming off of a very impressive win over a top 10 team in Baylor last week, as the trend was the top 9 teams did not cover in the AP top 25. Does BYU keep it rolling, or is this a potential letdown spot on the road against the Ducks of Oregon?
There's no letdown spots here because BYU has a schedule, Tim, that if the Cougars can run the table,
you go to the playoff.
12-0, and they're a playoff team. They've still got home game. They've got Notre Dame on a neutral here in Vegas, a home game against Arkansas, also a road game
Stanford
against
Stanford at the Everett,
a road game against Boise State. So the schedule's strong enough that if BYU runs the table, it's going to be a playoff team.
Agreed.
So you've got to win this game in Eugene against the Ducks, and that's going to be a tough challenge. But I'm not afraid to bet against Bo Nix. One thing, I didn't have many winners last week in college football, unfortunately. I did have BYU and got kind of lucky with this one. BYU was a 3-point favorite when we sat here last week. Number dropped to 2.5. The next day we got the news that the top two receivers, Nacua and Romney, were going to be out, which was bad news. But BYU offense found ways to compensate for that. And what I like about this BYU team is really physical on both lines of scrimmage. And you could see that against Baylor. Typically, I think Baylor would overpower a lot of teams at the line of scrimmage. That didn't happen against BYU. The Cougars were able to run the ball. I've liked this a lot about this team. Going back to the offseason, we talked about 19 starters back, all 11 on defense. This is a very mature team, one of the five most mature teams in college football in terms of returning production. I'm not sure what to think of Oregon yet, but I didn't have a very high opinion or rating on the Ducks in the preseason. And I actually took 4 with BYU here. I've got 2 tiers to my plays this week. Best bets, like the first class plays, and then the coach plays. This is a coach play on BYU at a plus 4 because I do think this is going to be a tough spot on the road against a Ducks team that got embarrassed against Georgia and is looking to bounce back. And I think BYU, off that really physical overtime game against Baylor, not a great spot here on the road for the Cougars. And Tim, I've been trying to find some information on the receivers this week. I can't find out if Romney and Nacua are going to be back. They were late scratches last week, so I would expect that they're going to be on the field because when we sat here last week, the report I read was they were expected to play. So I'm kind of banking on those guys being on the field. If that's the case, I want the 4 points with BYU, but it's not a big play for me.
Yeah, and I would echo that. Puka Nacua and Romney being out, I think, you know, you see it a lot in sports where teams rise up with some of their best players out. But how does that second game,
right,
you know, now there's tape out on Chase Roberts, who, you know, went for a buck 22 against Baylor. It's now a road environment as opposed to being at home in Provo. So I'm going to hold off. I would lean towards Oregon if the word comes out that Nacua and Romney are out again. This line is interesting to me, considering it's at 3.5. It feels like it's, you know, kind of dangling out there, tempting you to take those points on the road.
And Circa's had the highest number of 4.
Yeah.
And Circa's a sharp book.
So I would lean towards the Ducks. Bo Nix always seems to be a bit better at home than he was on the road, going back to his days at Auburn. They've won 20 straight at home, have the Ducks. So I'm going to wait and see, but it would be Ducks or pass for me. Final one on the main course, Michigan State at Washington. This is fascinating when you incorporate the Game of the Year lines that were put out over the summer here in Las Vegas. Chris Andrews and the folks over at South Point opened this in June. Michigan State -6.5. And right now, Matt, it has been a steady stream of Washington money as they are now a 3.5-point favorite, a total of 56.5. Is this a situation where we may have gotten a little carried away with, you know, a Michael Penix, Kalen DeBoer, couple good games? We haven't seen really much from either team. And I'll keep, the one note I'm kind of keeping an eye on is Jaden Reed's health. He got hurt against Akron there for Michigan State. Is he going to be healthy? Similar to the Romney and Nacua news, Mel Tucker's been pretty mum over whether or not he'll be available. But Michigan State, 11th in the country, is catching 3.5 on the road. A night game, or I guess late afternoon game, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, out in Seattle.
You know, I didn't even know Michigan State was ranked 11th until you said it. I don't look at the polls that much. Polls are worthless to bettors in most cases. Do you really believe Michigan State?
No.
No, it's not the 11th ranked team. Get out of here with that nonsense. You know, I give Chris Andrews and anybody who puts college numbers up first over the summer a lot of credit because it's tough to do. It's a lot tougher than putting up NFL numbers. But the number he put up on Michigan State, Washington, I thought at the time, this Michigan State shouldn't be a 6.5-point favorite in Seattle. I would have made that number 3, probably Michigan State 3. Now we're seeing it flipped in the other direction. Kalen DeBoer was a great coaching hire by Washington. And
wins everywhere he goes.
Yeah, and Michael Penix, I think the jury's out on him a little bit, but he has played well in the first couple games. And, you know, with DeBoer as his coach, you're going to get the best from Penix, I think. So I don't really have a strong opinion here, Tim. This is a pass for me. It's kind of a coin flip type of game where I don't see a clear edge to either side. So I know a couple sharp bettors I respect are on the Michigan State side, but I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah, I know a frequent guest on your Sunday bet prep show, Scott Spritzer. He was on VSiN Primetime on Wednesday night, and he took the points when it got up to 3.5 with Michigan State. I laid 2 with Washington early on. 3.5, probably a pass for me. So we'll see. But Washington, you know, they do have a great home field advantage, but this might be maybe a little bit too much of an overreaction to wins over, Kent State and Portland State. But Michigan State, I'll say this, didn't look great against Western Michigan in their opener. They played Akron. You know, I don't know if you can really glean anything off of beating Akron.
I don't know how good Michigan State is. This is not the Spartans of a year ago with Kenneth Walker in the backfield.
They have multiple, you know, grad transfers or transfers in the backfield, but they're not Kenneth Walker. I mean, Kenneth Walker was a difference maker, and there's a reason he was drafted second round in the NFL draft.